We'd hired a piano player at that time called Peter Wood, and, uh-huh. and I got my first American tour. I was opening for Linda Ronstadt all over the South, uh-huh. which was an experience. Peter Wood kept playing this piano riff over and over again at every single sound check, and I'd heard it, you know, half a dozen times when it occurred to me that it would, you know, it could be a song. I could take the chord order and the riff and write some lyrics to it, which is exactly what I did. But I didn't know what in the world to write it about. I mean, so I had several incarnations of it. The first one was about a British comedian called Tony Hancock, and then I did a spoof called the first one was called Foot of the Stage, and then I did a spoof on Princess Anne and called it Horse of the Year. And that Princess Anne rode off on the Horse of the Year. And I wrote another one, I can't remember now. The record company in America didn't like any of them, but they liked the tune. They loved
right,
the piano riff. And so in despair, I had a girlfriend at the time who had a book on Vietnamese astrology. And it was opened at a chapter called The Year of the Cat.
Okay.
Now, that meant absolutely nothing to me. I thought, I can't write it about Vietnamese astrology because the record company will just send it back again and say, well, what the heck are you doing? So I thought, well, I'll just go on a riff, you know, like, because I love movies. I'll throw Humphrey Bogart in there and see where and Peter Lorre and see where it goes. And did. And so we recorded, you know, the whole album. And right at the end, Alan Parsons, who is by now producing my records,
right.
said, why don't we put a saxophone on that? And I thought it was the worst idea I'd ever heard. I said, Alan, there aren't any saxophones in folk rock. Folk rock is about guitars.
Right.
No saxes in folk rock. You know, that's a jazz instrument. And he said, well, let's try. And I was just humoring him. I said, okay, fine, go ahead. In comes Phil Kensey, who was a session sax player.
Uh-huh.
And Phil didn't want to come to the session because he was watching a movie. He said, well, look, he says, I'll come in. He only lived around the corner from Abbey Road, which is where we were recording it. And you know, he rushed in, listened to the track once, played it through, I think, twice, and then ran off home to watch the end of the movie and thought no more of it. And I didn't like it either. I thought it sounded like a wounded cow, but Alan said, we'll sleep on it. And I slept on it, and it, in the morning it didn't sound as bad as I remembered.
Right.
And Alan was adamant that it, you know, like was an integral part of the song. So I said, okay, fine, we'll go with it. So I remember I got out of it. We'd finished mixing it at something like 9 o'clock in the morning. I went home. And, you know, I'd been up, literally, I'd been in the studio all day and all night at that point. I was dead tired. But I got the tape, the master tape of all the mixes. And I remember the last thing I did before I went to bed was I played them. And I thought, you know, this sounds pretty good. It's done at Abbey Road with, you know, like sort of first-class musicians.
Right.
And Alan Parsons producing, you know, like, and I thought the songs were strong. So I thought, well, I don't know what we've done, but it's the best. I can't do any better than this. And I played it to my best friend in Bournemouth at the time, and he said the same thing. He said if this isn't a hit,
right.
then I don't know what is.
Right.
So with that, I went off and slept and forgot all about it. And then, of course, it came out, and it because of all the FM airplay we'd got on Modern Times, it immediately went up the charts based on FM play. But the record company were convinced that if they did an edit on Year of the Cat, it could be a single. And I thought if there was a single on the record, it was another song called Sand in Your Shoes, which I thought was much more commercial. It sounded like a folk rock record.
Right.
And eventually I'd be proved right, but only in one country. It got to number 6 in South Africa. In the meantime, Year of the Cat came out as a single, and to everybody's amazement, and principally mine, it started going up the charts. And what is going on here? We got a hit single. I mean, I'm a folk singer.
Folk singers
don't get hit singles, you know, when I'm not even trying to be commercial. I'm just trying to sell albums, you know, and make a living. And what are we doing in the charts, you know, with Donny Osmond and people like that? It's like... but lo and behold, both the single and the album went into the top 10 in America, and then of course the following album, Time Passages, did the same thing. I think for about a period of 18 months there, I was whatever I was, a sort of an ersatz pop star. Never tried to be one, and I don't think I was very good at it. But it caused a lot of confusion because there were people who loved Year of the Cat and they loved the saxophone. And so they would sit through the concert waiting for that.
Right.
And of course, I was still playing Rhodes, Moscow, and Nostradamus, which nobody understood from
right.
the on the pop side. But on the other side, because I by then I had quite a lot of folk rock fans, and,
right.
and they wanted Rhodes to Moscow and Nostradamus, but they weren't at all sure about this Year of the Cat nonsense. And
right.
So eventually it was like a tale of two cities. It was a tale of two audiences, and never the twain shall meet.